Today we want to share and discuss with you from this thought. When do you leave your water pot? When do you leave your water pot? During biblical times, there are two types of water pots. There was one that you find in John chapter 2 in the marriage of Cana of Galilee, where Jesus turned the water into wine. And then in our scripture for today, it was a jar of earthenware in which water was carried from the well to a person's home. Many people are familiar with Jesus talking with the Samaritan woman at the well when she came to draw water. But it's important to realize that during biblical times that Jesus was going against many rules, traditions, and customs. First of all, men were not supposed to have conversations with women in public. And secondly, the Jews and Samaritans disliked each other. They had no dealings with each other. As a matter of fact, they would go around Samaria. They wouldn't even want to go through Samaria. That tells me right away that Jesus is a different kind of person. He's not bothered by rules and customs and regulations or by what others do. Some folk don't have a mind of their own. They just do what others do. You ask somebody, why you do that? I saw everybody else do that. Some folks don't think they just automatically do what other people do. But when you read John chapter 4, you find Jesus sending the disciples away to the city to buy meat. If you ask me, I think it's a setup. Because sometimes there's people around you who won't let you talk to the people you need to talk to. So sometimes you got to go send them shopping down Macy's somewhere so you'll be able to do what you need to do with the person right there. Amen. You got to do what you need to do. Sometimes you got to clear the house. So you can do what God needs done. Amen. Sometimes some people, you don't understand what God has told you to do. So they will intercede and impede and mess up everything you're trying to do because all they're concerned about is themselves. You're trying to witness to somebody. They want to know when we're going to get to lunch. When we're going shopping. When we're going to do this. Sometimes you got to get rid of folks sometimes. Give them your credit card. Say, gone. Or give them somebody else's credit card. Tell them, gone. Gone, have a good time. Get on up out of here. But, you know, God moves in the right kind of atmosphere. He can move in any kind of atmosphere, but sometimes things have to be set up because if they're not set up properly according to the will of God, what God told you to do, then the person who comes to the well might be afraid and move off. Sometimes people won't talk around a crowd, but they'll talk to you. They won't talk around a lot of people. You're talking about why you didn't tell me? Because every time I come to you, so popular, I can't get you all by yourself. But God told me to talk with you. But when you look at John chapter 4, verse 7, you find there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. He's at the well. He's tired. He sits down. And she comes to draw water. And he starts the conversation by, give me to drink. He didn't say, can you give me something to drink? He said, give me to drink. Look at verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. First of all, I want to know, what are you doing talking to me? And you trust me enough to give you something to drink when you hate me? I tell you, Jesus is a different kind of person. He doesn't think like we think. He doesn't do what we do. He's not annoyed at the things that annoy us. Jesus answered and said unto her in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Now, you got to understand, you know this woman's background. You know she's not the most popular woman in town. That's why she has to come to the well in the heat of the day. She come all by herself. She can't come with the other sisters. And she can't come with the brothers. So she got to come by herself. As you understand, folk always go off when Jesus says, tell me, you know, go get your husband. She said, the one I'm with now is not my husband. People say, woo! But that's not even the gist of the story. We ought to be shouting because she told the truth. Will we tell the truth? Oh, my God, my God. He said, and she said in verse 11, the woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? And he's leading her. Because right now, only water she knows coming to the well. You ain't got nothing to dip with. Don't play with me, sir. You talking about water, and I give you water, you don't give me living water. You ain't got nothing to matter. You standing here looking dusty and tired. You don't even have anything to dip with. You don't have anything. You don't have a bucket, a pail. You don't have a cup. You don't have a ladle. You don't have nothing. And you talking about you going to give me some living water. It takes time. You got to spend your time with people. Jesus didn't get upset like some of us when we try to explain the word of God to them. If folks don't get it right away, we get mad and leave. Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Then verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Give me this water so I can stop coming during the heat of the day and I don't have to come here no more. Give me this water. But see, you got to understand that God's not going to cast his pearls before the swine. The Spirit of God doesn't dwell in a dirty house. So Jesus said, let me get some truth. Let me get some truth out of it. Look at verse 16. Jesus said, now go call thy husband and come hither. Oh, my God. You see, Jesus said, I'm going to move slowly. I'm a witness to it. I'm going to move slowly through this thing. I'm going to see if she really wants this water. I'm going to see if you really want what I got for you. Because if you really want what I got for you, you'll be willing to tell the truth and give up some of that stuff that got you with the pitcher. I'm going to give you something better than what you can put in your pitcher. I know this is Jacob's well. I know you're excited about this being Jacob's well, but I want to give you a different kind of water. Let me see if you're ready for the real water. What does real water mean? Real water means that you're ready to tell the truth and receive the truth so you can receive the water. Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Jesus said, you talking truth. I'm truth, and you talking truth. Truth talking truth. Truth talking to truth. The woman said to the sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. That's powerful. She said, wait a minute, something going on here. Something going on. You all up in my business, but I ain't mad. I ain't mad because before I went to the market, they was all in my business. I was mad because they weren't prophets. They just talking about me. But you sound like you might want to help me. You sound like even though you know all about me, you still want to talk with me. You sound like even though you know I might have a messed up life and a messed up relationship, you sound as though even though I'm not living right, that you still want to deal with me. You say I can still receive this water. You sound like a prophet. I've never seen you before. How you know all this about me? Sir, I perceive. Because everybody else that know anything about me don't want to do nothing with me. They don't have nothing to do with me. I walk in, they walk out. I come up, they come down. I come down, they come up. They don't want to have nothing to do with me. I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then she said, our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said, a woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And that can be interpreted, the salvation came through a Jewish Messiah. Jesus is Jewish. So anybody here hating Jews and loving Christ, you got to work on that. You may not like what they do, but you got to love people. You don't have to like the acts and the actions. We got a lot of the actors and the actresses. So he said it comes through the Jews. But the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Can you imagine how this woman felt? Nobody probably talked to her like that before. Everybody just knew who she was and what she was. And that's what they called her. You know such and such. Watch your husband. Watch your husband. She a mess. Like you ain't a mess. Like you weren't just delivered from your mess. That's what's wrong with the church. We get delivered from our mess and forgot we were a mess, so we don't want to witness to nobody else. Everybody else is a mess, so we don't even want to touch them. We don't want to witness to them. We don't want to talk to them. We don't invite them to church because they might embarrass us. No, you're not worried about being embarrassed. You're worried about somebody telling your business. Send them to the church down the street.
Oh, come on, use some wisdom. No, don't come worship with me. You know too much. Go down to 51st Street. Go to another church. I want you to know Jesus, but don't come to my will. Look at verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Then you get down to verse 25, where we're going to spend just a few moments there today. The woman said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. It's amazing to me what some folk outside the church know. She probably couldn't even go to church. Sometimes you just get tired of folks talking about you ain't want to come to church. Instead of them focus on the pulpit, then everybody looking at you as soon as you walk there. You ain't careful in a small church. That could be somebody's cousin. You don't talk about folks' cousin. They would step right to you. I see you in the bathroom after service. I know who she is. I know her name. It's my cousin. Yeah, our blood is thicker than water. I ain't talking about the blood of Jesus, but my blood. Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Lord have mercy. That is so powerful. I that speak unto thee am he. First of all, no man's supposed to be talking to me. And the day that a man opens his mouth up to me, guess who he is? Oh, I thought you would go to the queen of the neighborhood. Oh, yeah. I thought you would go get the filthy elite folk. I didn't know you'd be talking to me. Can you imagine how she felt? Her value went up. The Dow Jones Industrial went to the roof. I am he. Anybody here ever just been just always put to the side, pushed to the side, ostracized, black people, the family, nobody? Then one day, God said, I'm tired of folks pushing you aside. God said, let me do something special in your life because I see your heart. They see your past. They see what you did. They see where you stuck. They see your dirt. But they don't see my power working in your life. Because so many times we forget that the power of God that works in us can work on somebody else. But the results of the power of God working on us get us all prideful. Like God can't help nobody else. I'm not saying it's good to meddle in mess, but it's good to remember from whence thou come. That's where humility comes in. Humility is powerful. You remember from whence you come. And you know it's God in your life. You know you didn't turn your life around. God turned your life around. You need to stop acting like it's you. Walking around like it's you. It wasn't you. But you got it going on. Talking everybody else down. Looking down on everybody else. Laughing at folk. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. But when do you leave your water pot? You leave your water pot when your water pot represents more than just you carrying the water. When your water pot represents why you have to come by yourself, that's when you want to leave it. When you have to come by yourself in the heat of the day, that's when you want to leave your water pot. Can you imagine every time she picked up her water pot to go get some water, that what she thought about herself? The only reason I got to go at 12 p.m. in the heat of the day is because nobody won't be with me. Nobody will walk with me. Nobody won't talk with me. Just me and my man that I ain't married to. He can't even walk with me because he can't talk to me. Lord have what a mess. When do you give up your water pot? When it represents the old water. When do you give up your water pot? When it represents the old ways. When do you give up your water pot? When it represents the old worries. When do you give up your water pot? When it represents you being less than God intended you to be, and you're being ostracized and criticized because of the situation that you're in, and it feels like you're stuck and you can't get out. You couldn't get out of this mess if you wanted to. You all see folks sometimes. When folks don't have no hope, you can see it in their face. You can see it in their eyes. They just dejected, rejected.
They walk around looking down. Feel like they don't have any hope. Sometimes you feel you can't change your life if you wanted to. You go through your daily routine, but you really, really don't have any hope. Every day you go to the well all by yourself. On your way to the well, you begin to think about why you got to go to the well by yourself. You find no joy there. You get your water in your water pot, and you walk back to your broken home, your broken relationship. Boyfriend don't want to marry you. Oh, I'm sorry. That's another mess. He's just all up in your house waiting for you to bring the water in. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Oh, that's a whole other mess, ain't it? Oh, my God. You go on. I get the water. He just lay it all up in your house. Wait a minute. Pour some water on it. That's tough. That's tight, ain't it? You're in the heat of the day. You go and get the water. He laid back. Is that you, so-and-so, with the water? She knows. I know she ought to stop by the drugstore somewhere. And get a little something. Put it in water. Say, drink from this water. Please drink from this water. But can you imagine what her life felt like? Same stuff every day. Like no change, no hope. Nothing going to get better. You ever been like that? You just been going around in this vicious cycle called life and nothing going to get no better. Everybody around you doing all right, but it seems like you can't get in touch with Jesus and Jesus can't get in touch with you. Because sometimes he's trying to get in touch with us, but we're so depressed, suppressed, oppressed that he can't even get our attention because we're just looking down all the time. I look at the hills from where's coming my help. My help coming from the Lord. When do you leave that water pot? You really leave it, number one, when you encounter Christ. That's when you can leave your water pot, because once you encounter Christ, he's going to give you the alternative. And see, before she met Christ, that's the only pot she had. My God. Before she had an encounter with Christ at that well, that was the only water pot she knew. Other folk knew different things, but they didn't want to share with her. See, you're going to have to share with somebody who don't smell like you, don't look like you, may not walk like you, talk like you, may not live where you live. You think you all that. You're not all that. Because if the truth were told today and God would strip all these robes off and all these titles off and all these hallelujahs off and all these anointings off and all these standing off. She encountered Christ. So you leave your water pot when you encounter Christ. Because the water pot that you now have can't hold the water that you're now going to get. See, when things change, you do things different. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I say it all the time. I never see a man buy a new suit and put it on top of his old suit. I don't care if it's 17 degrees outside. He's going to show the new suit. The old suit got to go. When God, we have an encounter with Christ, begin to accept the fact that you need to change your life. At the moment that she encountered Christ, her life changed. She no longer had to go to the well in the heat of the day because he restored her confidence. He restored her respect. Because when she came back with no pot, but she came back with the gospel. See, that water pot represented all her worries she was carrying. Back and forth every day, back and forth. Back and forth. Some of us like that. We carry our stuff back and forth because somebody told you you weren't worth nothing. Somebody said to you the blood of Jesus can't help you. Somebody even beat you down. See, you can abuse people just by words. You can tell folks you ain't nothing, never going to be nothing. You can look at folk like they ain't nothing. You know what I mean? You can treat them like that. You can sit in front of them, eat a plate of food, and say, look at them and say, starve. And mean it. Some of us in the body of Christ mean. Always a mean folk. Look at our just for ourselves. Survival of the fittest. Where you find that in the Word of God? Survival of the fittest. Can't help nobody. Won't give nobody nothing. Folk come in the church looking for stuff. Y'all sending to me like I got a pocket full of wide money. You got money? Give them something for an egg sandwich. Why are you sending to me? You got to go see Pastor for an egg sandwich.
So if you want prayer, see me. So number one, you leave your water pot if you encounter Christ. Number two, you leave your water pot when you repent and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's what she did. She accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. Look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, not to the women. They didn't want to hear nothing she had to say, even though she had some good news. But sometimes your reputation will cause you to have, like, you know, separation from folk. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? In other words, come see a man that know everything about me and not afraid of me and not afraid to love on me and to embrace me and to give me salvation. Oh, there's some folk out there lying on, out on the street, laying on the street. They need Jesus. They need to go see that man that ain't going to judge them. Man, some of us, we know, we judge other folk, but we don't want to be judged. You ever tell yourself that person ain't never going to get saved? Who told you that? When you say that, go look in the mirror. Say, Lord, excuse me. Excuse me, Lord. Excuse me, Lord. I don't think I was that good when you say, I wasn't that deep when you say, yeah, I remember. Just flip the switch on your life. Say, Lord, I thank you, and I'm sorry. You can leave your water pot when your water pot can't carry this new life-giving water, because it has to be, it's spiritual. It has to be carried within your body. Carried within your spirit. That's when you leave your water pot. You leave your water pot when your life is transformed and you got to go tell it. See, some of us have been saved so long, it ain't nothing to us no more. I'll go to church. I don't think I'll go to church. Oh, I'll pray today. No, I won't pray today. Oh, I'll sing a happy song. No, I won't sing a happy song. Oh, I'll give to God's house. No, I won't give to God's house. I'll keep it for myself. That's why it says, take me back to where I first saw the light. Because when you remember when God first grabbed you out of that mess, you had to go tell it. You had to go tell somebody what God did for you. But as we grow in Christ, somehow that gets kind of old for us. We lose our joy. We get to church. We want folk to pump us up with the song and pump us up with this. And pastor going to have to jump over the pulpit next Sunday if he wants me to shout. I'm going to sit there just like this. You ought to be glad I came to church. I am. But God ain't getting up on the cross for you. We got to keep this thing straight. Why are you coming to church? Why are you worshiping? Do you really love God? Do you love him for who he is or what you can get from him? That's when you can leave your water pot, when you don't need that old stuff no more. When you can let stuff go, that's when you can leave your water pot, when it represents the old stuff, my old ways, my old faults, my old mess, my old friends. Because I encounter Christ. And if any man be in Christ, any woman be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Some of us don't want to be new. We want to hold to the old stuff so we can have this sad testimony. Hold to the old stuff because we're not really ready to let it go yet. Talking about God knows my heart. Let that stuff go so you can be brand new. Release it. Release it. Old relationship is done. I know you saw him and her and they looking good. But it's done. Cut the umbilical cord. Move on with your life. That's when you can leave your water pot. But it represents all the old life, old stuff. And it's so hard for us to move because we want everything to change overnight. The problem we have is we want the people that have been against us to know that we changed. And God ain't moving quick enough. That should never be your goal. To go back and let folk know that you changed. Just walk in it. Just flow with it. They're going to find out. Oh, they're going to find out. When they find out that you're not no longer going through the well at 12. But they don't hear your door open. They looking at you. Your neighbors are looking through the blinds. There she goes.
Ain't that something? There she go. He lay all up in the bed, and she going out there getting the water. And she goes, watch her look at back. He all sweating. Ain't got no head on. Ain't got no sunglasses or nothing on. Look at him. Wouldn't be me. It was almost you. Shut up. It's almost you. You were just that close to be her. You threatened him and he put a ring on your finger. What are you talking about? My. That's Reverend Kevin's version. Then they got enough problem. I ain't putting nothing else on. There's enough stuff going on because everybody reads and do this stuff. But what I like about it is no matter how dirty I am, I can be redeemed. That's what I like about sin. Sin makes me a candidate for salvation. Sin makes me a candidate for redemption. That's the only good thing about sin. It makes me eligible for everything that salvation wants to give me through Jesus Christ my Lord. If I wasn't dirty, I couldn't be saved. If I was perfect, then I couldn't be saved. If I wasn't all messed up and tricked up and tore up from the floor up, God would pay no attention to me. He sent Jesus to seek and to save that which was lost, not that which was lost. So when you encounter Christ, you can leave that water pot. Let him talk. Folks are always going to talk. Let them keep on talking. You keep on rejoicing. Let them keep on talking. She did this. She did that. He did this. He did that. She got about 5 kids now, don't she? So what? Did you feed them? Oh, my God. When the last time you took the clothes down to her house? Have you ever talked with her and understand what she's been through in her life? Do you know how she grew up? Do you know she had 5 kids because she wanted somebody to keep her company because none of y'all would? Oh, my God. You don't know why folk do what they do, but we can put our mouth on them in a minute. That's why they got to keep on coming to the well. If you don't know what else to do, keep on coming. Jesus will. He going to meet you. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit draws people to Christ, and he knows their heart. He knew on this particular day that he's going to meet her there. Because he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He mean, Jesus, you went through Samaria just for her. He said, look, I died just for you. This wasn't no group death. This ain't no group death thing. There wasn't no group crucifixion. I did it personally for you. She went and told men, come see a man. Can you imagine how she felt? Her life was transformed. She being sanctified as she went. I imagine she changed her walk. I imagine her whole countenance changed. Come see a man that know everything about me and didn't proposition. Come see a man and know everything about me and then ask me about my drug habit. Told me he could take me out of my. Come see a man that didn't have a whole list of everything I did wrong, but had a list of everything he could do right in my life. That's when you can leave your water pot, that old nature, that old stuff. And every now and then you think about that old water pot, but you ain't got to go get it. Because you got some new water flowing. And your mind's being renewed. You're changing your focus on yourself and on your life. Now you were something. You were something before. You just didn't know it. Sometimes you can be in such a situation where your work can be devalued just because of what you think you stuck in and can't get out of. But I need to let somebody know you are somebody because we are made in his own image. He blew into us his breath. We got God's DNA. So some of that means we did not allow God, but it means Jesus. Look at verse 38. And many of the Samaritans, now the Samaritans, the Jews didn't get together, but because she had a testimony, because they could see the change in her life, and the Samaritans deal with the Jews, look at this verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Wow. She ain't say come see Jesus. Come see a man that told me.
come see somebody that accepted me where I was. Come see somebody that accepted me and knew my mess. Come see somebody that accepted me and knew that I was in the wrong living situation. Come see somebody knew I had no hope, no way out. Look at verse 40. So when the Samaritans would come unto Jesus, him, they besought him that he was tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. He must have had an awesome testimony to go to this man, Jesus, and say, can you hang with us 2 days? Because I need to talk with you, man. I need to talk with you, boy, because I'm going through, and I got some friends that are going through. My family all jacked up and messed up, man. Can you hang with us 2 days? We want what she got. I want whatever you gave her. I can see them all coming now, talking about, no, don't bring no water pot. You just come. Oh, come as I am. Come as you are. They say, can you in fact abode here 2 more days? And look at verse 41, and many more believe because of his own word. See, when you witness to somebody, be excited about it so they can come to and find out what you're talking about. Stop being mad with folks. You need to go somewhere and get saved. That ain't right. That's not right. There's no joy in that. You invite somebody to the joy of salvation. Just get them out there. Get saved. She ran back and told him, look here. I know y'all been talking about me. I know y'all don't like me. But that's fine with me. Come see a man that told me some stuff that you didn't even know. That's powerful. He told me all that I ever and still hung right in there with me. Stayed right there. Didn't look me down, didn't look me up and down. Didn't despise me, didn't reject me. I didn't feel dejected. Come see somebody. Come see somebody. Come see a man that you and I know that God pulled a cover off our life, but we run out of this church. We want to go under the floor sometimes if some of us knew what some of us did. Thank God for mercy, grace, and the covering of God. But that's humility. It says, like, stop walking around God's house like you all that. You know it's the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 42. Then they turn around and said to the woman, now we believe. Not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. When did you leave all that old water pot mess alone? When you encounter Christ, when you repent and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when your water pot can no longer carry the living water because it's a brand new type of water, and when your life is transformed and you just can't keep it to yourself. We are God's advertisers. We are God's billboards. No matter what your water pot, no matter what barrier, bondage, or problem your water pot represented, there's always hope. The hope is in Christ. And when you're trying to witness and help somebody out, stop letting them depend on you. Stop messing around making yourself feel better because they need you. Lead them to Christ. It's no longer helping folk. But one day, as I told folk, tell them to bring their tackle box. I'm going to teach you how to fish. Today, I'm going to feed you a fish dinner. But next week, I'm going to teach you how to fish. This hope is in Christ, but you must be willing to drink a different water that will transform you from who you think you are and who they say you are to whom God says that you are. Somebody sitting here right now don't think you're going to be nothing because you think it's based on your job and the money you make and the neighborhood you live in. That's the furthest thing from the truth. You let the blood of Jesus get on you. He'll blow your mind. He'll put you in places, put you with people and do things that you never thought could happen. This water of Christ will totally transform your life and result in you not drinking only from Jacob's well, but any well of God. No matter what you're going through, don't give up. Don't stop living.
Keep on coming to the well by yourself, because somebody going to meet you there one day that knows your heart. One thing about God, he knows when you're fed up. God knows when you're fed up. The enemy will come in and say, look, you ought to end it all. Come on, man. Commit suicide. Go ahead. Take all them pills. Go ahead. Play Russian roulette with your life. That's the enemy. God is the one saying, come on back to the well. Bring the only water pot you got. Because when I give you the living water, you won't even need that pot. There's one that knows every detail of your life. Is not ashamed to talk with you and encounter you and embrace you and love you and save you and bless you. And his name is Jesus. He will meet you at your well of despair and hopelessness, because those that look at you and call you a whatsoever forgot that Jesus came for the whosoever. Don't get hung up when folk call you name. That's not your name. That's what they think you are from what they think they know. Hey, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. It doth not yet appear what it shall be. And the Bible never says that the Samaritan woman came back to get her old water pot. I want to let you know that let the old go and embrace the new you. Don't go back once you get saved. That's the saddest testimony of the church. We don't understand all of salvation. We think salvation is simply about not going to hell, not being eternally damned. It's so much more to salvation. But we get so caught up in just being saved, we get saved and don't come back to church. That means you went back to the same old water pot. Now you are saved, so-and-so. No more change. So all you did, you added salvation, but you still carrying the same water pot. That means that you got saved and you still are receiving and owning up to what they think you are, what they call, and what you think of yourself. Are you here enough time? You're going to think you that yourself. She never went back to get that old water pot. She kept on moving forward. She kept it moving. She kept drinking from the new water of Christ. She kept on praising God for a new life in Christ. Sure, people will always talk. But you just continue to be renewed and refreshed and regenerated while they're talking. Talk is cheap, y'all. Hallelujah. Don't let nobody get all up in your ear talking all that stuff to you. All of a sudden, you blessed, and they're going to tell you unblessed. They're going to tell you not this and you're not that. You better learn how to listen to the voice of God and stop going back getting that water pot. When do you need your water pot? When you encounter Jesus? When you repent and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? When you get a new source of living water? And when your life has been transformed and redeemed to the point where you can't keep it to yourself, you got to go tell somebody. When do you leave your water pot? When you encounter Mary's baby and the rose of Sharon? When do you leave your water pot? When you understand that Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly? When do you leave your water pot? When you found out that Jesus died on Calvary cross for your sins and my sins. But that's not how the story ends. He got up on the third day with all power in his hands. Said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy sting? When do you leave the water pot? When your life has been made new. How does your life made new? You have to have an encounter with Christ. Once you have an encounter with Christ, repent, accept him. Get that new living water. Let your life be transformed. And it's a process. It's a lifetime of transformation. But God will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever mess you and I find ourselves in, it is not God's fault. Don't blame God. Say, God, I need you to help me. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your mercy and grace on my life. God, I have fallen into some things I don't know how to get out of. And that's when you are truthful with him. When he tell you, go get your husband, go get your wife, the one I'm with. Oh, he was telling the truth. Once he told him the truth, did you see what happened after that? Once you tell the truth, stuff fall off. Stop living a lie. Stop telling a lie. Stop lying to yourself. Tell the truth. No matter how it hurts. And ye shall know the truth.
and the truth shall make and set you free.
That's a shame. I always think about tax time, how many lives are going to. Now, let's just all stand. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We open the doors of God's house. They ain't got nothing to do with this message. I'm sorry, y'all. We open the doors of God's house.